baseball regular season is closing down here, coming to an end. Playoffs soon to be underway, and it is an absolute battle, especially in the AL East, when you have likely the two wildcard teams coming out of that division as well. It looks like Tampa Bay is going to go away with the division. They have an 8.5 game lead over second place in the American League East. They also have the best record in the American League. They still have a 4.5 game lead over the Astros. That's going to be tough to lose there, I think, just the way they're playing. But looking at the wild card in specific, you have right now, if we're looking at the wild card standings, the Toronto Blue Jays first spot, Boston Red Sox are tied with them for the second spot, and then the New York Yankees, who had a really, really terrible loss last night to the Baltimore Orioles, to where they're up 2-0 fairly late into the game. I think it was after the sixth inning at least. They score a run in the seventh, I think Baltimore does, and the Yankees have a chance to, you know, extend their lead. Giancarlo Stanton in a position, he basically, hits an opposite field shot and was looking like it was going to go down the first baseline, at least be a double, really start the momentum going for that inning, and it hits the umpire's shin. The umpire was unable to get out of the way, and I'm really thinking to myself when watching that, is an umpire's shin really going to get in the way of a Yankees win? Turns out it did, but I mean, that's just a factor. That's one piece of the puzzle of why they lost, and then they blow a lead late, you know, make it 2-2. They go in the extra innings, and then Baltimore walks it off in the 11th. So those type of wins, especially against what the worst team in the American League, or almost, I think they're tied for the worst team in the entire league with the Arizona Diamondbacks. That's interesting, is a race for 100 losses. Who's the first team that's going to get to 100 losses? Baltimore Orioles at 99, Arizona Diamondbacks at 99. The Orioles are playing the Boston Red Sox right now. And let's take a look at the Diamondbacks. They're probably much later. Oh, and Houston. So both are candidates, but the Baltimore Orioles would be the soonest would get their 100 loss sooner. So we'll have to see how that develops. But going back to the wild card, it's to me, it's probably going to come down to the American League East, to where you're going to have those two teams be those two wild card teams. And it's kind of funny. The winner would likely have to play Tampa Bay in the divisional series. So it's just a good way to narrow down the AL East teams leading up to the championship series. But the way the Blue Jays have played, the way their offense has been, is unreal. Best offense in terms of scoring in the entire league. Run differential. Hold on. Nope. Let me check that. Just to make sure. I think I looked at something wrong. I think I was just looking at the wild card standings. So if we look at overall, want to make sure I'm right on this. Run scored. They are third in the league in run scored behind the Tampa Bay Rays, Houston Astros. Run differential in the entire league is fourth. So if you look at those two stats, specifically run differential, that should indicate to people that Toronto is built to be a playoff team. And it's just that the record, whether it's losing like close games or just in a situation to where there's times to where they just, blow teams out, but then, just take really bad losses. They should be one of those two wildcard teams. So that's pretty cool. You know, the team that I work for a couple months while they're in Buffalo gets into the playoffs. Ideally, It would be great if it was Toronto or the Yankees. And of course, you know, that would be nice if the Yankees had a home game. They would get like the top wild card spot, but their season has been so inconsistent, you just don't know. But anyway, as long as it's the Blue Jays and the Yankees that are in the playoffs and not the Red Sox, that would be great. That would be ideal. Did Joey Gallo hit a home run? Yes, he did. All right, so the Yankees are playing. I'm currently recording this during the Yankees-Indians game, and it's like, what, bottom of the second inning, Joey Gallo hit a home run. Seems like that guy is either home run or strikeout according to his batting average. Yeah, 36 home run of the season. I think his batting average is just above 200. So not great at all. But yeah, like these are the series that the Yankees really have to take advantage of, because when they close the season against, I believe in this order, their last three series are Boston, Toronto, and Tampa. So three potential teams. Of course, the Rays are going to be the playoff team, and then Blue Jays or the Red Sox are going to be a playoff team. They need to fare well in those last, what, 9 or 10 games. And if they don't, they're likely going to be out of the playoffs. And that's the same for the Blue Jays and the Sox, too. So, but before that, the Yankees playing a team like the Cleveland Indians, you got to, I would have to say you got to sweep a series like this with a Cleveland team that's under 500. If you really want to be a playoff team, you got to win these clutch games at the end of the season. But like I said, it's just been an absolutely inconsistent season that the Yankees have put together, including the 12 or 13 game win streak. And then they just absolutely play horrible their next three or four series. So I don't know what team we're going to get in New York. And that's something that's, if they do make the playoffs, would be concerning. Not necessarily in the one game sample with the wild card game, but when it comes to a divisional series, you have to have good outings by both Gerrit Cole and Corey Kluber in those first couple of games, because if you lose those, then it's a little shaky trying to rely on guys like Cortez. I think they would have Heaney in the bullpen, a guy that they required from the Angels. So we'll see what happens if they get there. This is something that they have to take advantage of for sure, is a series like this against the Indians. And I'm pretty sure at the start of the second half, I made the prediction that the Los Angeles Angels were going to get into the playoffs. I don't know why I constantly think, or I don't know if it's a joke at this point, that I believe in them so much. Maybe I thought that Mike Trout was going to come back sooner or whatever. But anyway, they're way out of it, of course. Games back, they're like, what, 10 games back of the second wild card spot. So yeah, so there's no way. I don't want teams like Oakland or Seattle in there either. Would I say I want them over Boston? I mean, maybe Oakland over Boston, but I think I would honestly want like the Red Sox in there over, say, the West Coast teams in Oakland or Seattle. Because I think it would just be more better to watch, you know? Watching a game where the A's are playing in Oakland, it's just like not a good visual in the Coliseum or whatever. Just not a good visual ballpark, you know? So that's, I guess that's one of the reasons. I would rather see the the Red Sox go up against the Yankees or the Blue Jays versus, a West Coast team or whatever. But we'll have to see what happens. I'm really hoping for New York here. I really hope they can put together some consistency to be able to get one of those last two spots, but it is completely up in the air. The Toronto Blue Jays are red hot. They've won 8 of their last 10 games. Meanwhile, you have Boston and New York winning only 4 of their last 10 games, and it's not too it's not too great behind them either. Oakland, 5 of the last 10, Seattle, 4 of the last 10. So the Blue Jays are taking advantage of those other wild cards teams struggling, and they look, like I said, in a good spot to get one of those wild card spots. And now you're going to have the Red Sox and the Yankees probably battling out for that second wild card spot. Should be interesting moving into the final weeks of the regular season. Another thing I want to talk about here, and this, I guess, kind of follows the theme of the Blue Jays a little bit, is the AL MVP race. Now, from the last time I checked, which I think was yesterday, I don't think the sports books are having odds up for the AL MVP anymore. I think they believe Shohei Ohtani is by far going to win it, and there's no point of putting bets up. But the interesting thing with Shohei Ohtani is that he may not pitch again this regular season. Now, at this point of the year, you know, it would probably be what, maybe 2 or 3 starts, nothing too crazy. So I don't think that would, if he does something bad or misses games in the pitching, I don't think that's really going to affect anything too crazy. Okay, so they did post the AL MVP back up. This was like mid-afternoon today, or wait, no, what am I looking at? Oh no, that's when it ends. Okay, never mind. So yeah, so it's up, and you have Shohei Ohtani at -4,000 and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. at +850. Now, what do I think the MVP has been determined completely? No, because I think the way Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is hitting at such a young point in his career, and given the recent potential injury of Shohei Ohtani that would get rid of his pitching, I think that the window is open still for Guerrero to possibly earn some votes. Now, is it set in stone? Like I said, I don't believe so. But the thing that Vladimir Guerrero Jr. has to do, I think, at this point, is get the Triple Crown. Like, that's the only shot he would have in order to potentially win this. So I think now I gotta actually check to make sure, but I'm fairly certain, without even looking, he's top 3 in all of the categories for the Triple Crown. So it's batting average, home runs, RBIs, and this is just the Triple Crown that you need to get in the league. So he is tied first for batting average at .317. He is tied first in home runs, which that's also kind of impressive too. Is Salvador Perez of Kansas City, I think he tied the regular season record for most home runs by a catcher. I believe Johnny Bench has the record of 45, who was the legendary catcher for the Cincinnati Reds. So Perez still has time to break that. But going back to Guerrero, 45 home runs, Ohtani right behind him at 44, and then runs batted in needs a little bit of help there, because he is now 9 behind Salvador Perez. So that's going to be the biggest thing for him, is can he accumulate enough RBIs to get the Triple Crown? I think that's an uphill battle for sure. If we're looking in the category, if we're looking at Ohtani in comparison, where is he? He has 94, so has a 9 RBI advantage there. Given the pitching of Ohtani, I don't think that's going to be a significant enough gap. Batting average, also important. Where is Ohtani? So that's the thing. If Ohtani is struggling in the batting average category, or am I just missing him and he's like near the top of the list? No, it doesn't look like it. So yeah, if I think that's reasonable. I think if, because Ohtani's batting average is .256 versus Guerrero's .317. So if Guerrero, this is kind of, I guess this would be kind of a bold prediction, but a lot still has to happen. If Guerrero stays in the lead for batting average, stays in the lead for home runs, and somehow passes Salvador Perez for the RBI leads, gets the AL Triple Crown, and becomes the first player to do that since Miguel Cabrera back in, 2012, then, and also if Ohtani is out, especially with pitching and maybe for just the entirety of the rest of the season, then Vladimir Guerrero Jr. could very well be the AL MVP. And would I take a flyer, if I could take a flyer at +850? Sure, why not? But still, it's tough when you see Ohtani still at -4,000, and I think you weren't even allowed to bet on it as of like 1 or 2 days ago. So still a huge uphill battle, but I don't think Ohtani is completely out of the woods yet, and Guerrero still has a shot to win the AL MVP.